so he was very agreeable because he had one date. He said, this is the date you have to come. Okay, so that works. He said, I won't be here. So that fits in real well, but it would be good to have him here as well. I do want to also thank you as a church. I've been going around this year and thanking churches that walk with us, with PRBI. What sort of intrigued me, this year I did something, I tried to figure out, which churches do I go to? I've usually picked churches that are further away and a little bit more difficult to gain access to because we're a little bit more unknown, and so I try and get in there. But this year I decided I would take a look at the churches that walk with us and pick those that I hadn't been at. So I don't think I've actually spoken here before. At least on my records, I don't think I have it down. But I just wanted to come and say I really appreciate what you as a church do, because you actually are relatively new. We were even here when this church was planted. So for my memory then, it's relatively new, yet you are in leading. You lead, not you're up front in these churches that support PRBI. So I just want to thank you for that, because that is remarkable. That you walk with us as a Bible school. Secondly, it's a real privilege, or thirdly, I guess, it's a real privilege to do this with alumni that were with us, to come here and see them leading and participating and to do this with you. And to me, that is indeed special. I think most of the churches we've been at, that's been the case, where the person who is leading the service that morning was in our classes a few years ago. So that's special. Yes. Turn it around. Better, it's better than being told one class that my shirt was undone. The things that you have to learn to just accept and run with, right? It's also good to see some of our students here, so that is special. So thanks also for being here. Well, I have chosen Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Because of just where we are as a culture, now as a Christian culture. And so these verses have sort of started to percolate in my mind and sort of impact me exactly where we are. So, one of the main questions that has sort of been running around in my mind is the question about our youth. And one of the things that we are being challenged with in our evangelical churches is the fact that our young people are leaving. And they are leaving at a younger age. So 20 years ago, we used to talk about the fact that we were losing our kids in university. So let's get them grounded in God's word before they get there. But that's not the case. Well, that's still happening. But on top of that, we are now losing our young people in high school. And Sharon and I, we were driving home from church one time, and I was thinking, well, this is the city churches, right? So Sharon and I attend La Glass Bible Fellowship, and so we just started going through the list of kids. And all of a sudden, it wasn't long, and we had two handfuls that had left the church in high school. So it's not just a city problem, this is a rural problem that we need to seek to address. So one of the things, though, that is fortunate, is good, that's on our side, is the fact that young people stay in church if their parents' faith is vibrant and the faith of the church is vibrant. So if those two things are there, they are very willing to stay in church and get involved. So it really does beg a question then, what are we doing on those two fronts, correct? So what are we doing in the home? And then secondly, what are we doing in church? So is the home relevant and is church relevant? So a faith that is not just based on you should. See, it's when we say you should that we lose our kids. See, it's got to be relational. See, what does this faith mean to you? So do we have a faith that's going to handle everything that life throws at us? That's the question. So is it relevant? And do our kids see that it's relevant in their parents' lives? Now, Scripture does place responsibility on the home. So I want to talk about the home here, but I don't want to lose the fact that Scripture also talks about the fact that we do this in community. So the home is important, but we do this together. See, ironically, we have child dedication. I'm sure you have it here as well. You have child dedication, and there's two parts to it, right? Pastor asks the couple something, correct? And then the pastor asks who? The congregation. And usually, I don't know what happens here, but does the pastor ask you to all rise at that point? Yeah. So, you know, at that point, we are committing ourselves to helping raise this child, right? So it does take the home, but it does also take the community. We have to do this together. And I'm going to say it a few times that parents are not perfect. Sharon and I messed up with our children. We're not perfect. So as we began to realize, you know, when they're sort of leaving the home, what some of our negative impact was, we actually sat some of our kids down. And we talked about our negative impact. We all live east of Eden. We want to live in the Garden of Eden, but we all live east of Eden. We all make mistakes. Why can't we own that? Because it's exactly that that's going to impact our kids negatively. And so can we talk about that and be truthful? So why should we bother doing this? Well, simply to bring our kids to the throne of grace. See, can we bring them exactly there where they need to experience God's grace in their lives? We need to bring them there because they will go into things in life that are going to be hard. See, Lauren, you just talked about something that happened, right? So how do we prepare for that? See, we'll all face it. How do we prepare them for life? So we should prepare them for life because it will help them with life and its difficulties. See, eternal life is now. We tend to often think about it as being then or tomorrow, down the road. But eternal life occurs now, not tomorrow, it's now. If we have Jesus Christ, we have life now. So we should be asking the question, why are we not excited about this life today? So that should be our question. And then what do I need to do to become close with Jesus Christ? See, are we really convinced that Jesus has the answers? See, that's the question, isn't it? Am I really convinced that Jesus has the answers? That the Bible has the answers for me? See, does the Bible have the answers? Or do I need to get to know God's Word better so that I begin to see that the Bible indeed has the answers? See, often we try religion rather than a relationship with Jesus Christ. So a religion says that you have to do this, 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 and this, and then you're spiritual. But a relationship says, I need to love. I need to learn to love the other person. I need to get to know the other person. And out of that relationship then flows a heart that wants to work and live with that person. See, it's not shoulds that keep me with Sharon. The shoulds don't do anything, right? You should do this. No, it's a relationship with her that keeps me walking with her and living with her. So Deuteronomy is a repetition of the law. Deuteronomy focuses on the Ten Commandments. So the first four chapters focus on God's faithfulness. Chapter 5, then, is a repetition of the Ten Commandments. So you have the first Ten Commandments are given first in Exodus chapter 20. And here Moses repeats them, and so they are repeated in chapter 5. Then chapter 6 focuses on the first commandment, and chapters 11 to 12 apply the first commandment. And then chapters 12 to 25 focus on the commandments 2 to 10. So if we look at chapter 6, then we're focusing specifically on the first commandment, to love the Lord your God. Okay? So by following this path that Moses ironically laid as he was leading the people of Israel, we'll find a path to walk on with our children and our grandchildren. Or with the youth. If you don't have children, then the youth of your church. There's application here for everyone. So where is God leading us in this? So by following the path laid down by Moses, our youth are more likely, no guarantees, but more likely to follow Jesus today. And it's fascinating that this is the verse that Jesus most quoted. It's the verses that we're going to take a look at. So they do have significance then for what we're talking about. So the future of our young people is at stake. Now, most of us have vested interest in children. We have four. Somebody prayed for wisdom for children. We still want wisdom for leading our children today. So yes, ours are eating into the 40s now, which is terrible to think of. But we still want wisdom in leading our children and talking with our grandchildren. How do you talk with our grandchildren? Two of them are 17. How do we talk with them to gain an entrance into their lives spiritually? So all those things are still pertinent to us as well. So the first thing that Moses says is, of course, to love God. He says in verse 4, in Hebrew, this word is Shema. So some of you will have heard they talk about the great Shema. And so the Jews talk about this verse in particular, and it is well known by all of them. And so the great Shema simply comes from the first word in this sentence. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. See, notice that the focus is on love. The focus isn't on rules. The focus isn't on should. The focus is on love. Love is a relational term. See, how do we learn to love each other, right? If they'd only just all be like me, we'd be fine, right? No, I can't live with myself either at times, so that doesn't work. But learning to love one another, right? To walk with each other. See, the word here is talking about our relationship. It's most often used between a husband and wife in the Old Testament. So it's that relational term that God is wanting with you and me. He's wanting a relationship with us. See, we tend to think about, well, if I go to church on Sunday, if I pray once in a while, if I do this, then God is happy with me. No. God is happy with us when we are in love with Him. See, it's a love relationship that He's looking for. So it's a relationship that He's after. So it's a relationship, not rules, that He wants with us. See, I am so reminded so often that it's shoulds. The shoulds don't work. And of course, I work with young people and try shoulds on young people, and it is dead the instant you say should. And so you have to find another way to get there, and that to me has been the relationship. So establishing a relationship with them. And I've been fascinated what happens when you work with a relationship with young people. My age does not hinder me one iota. My white hair does not hinder me one iota. Had a student say to me, they met me after, I think it's good 18, maybe even 20 years, maybe it was from your time period. And he said, "Well, Waldy, you haven't changed." And I thought, boy, my hair is, was my hair that white 20 years ago? Must have been. Dana, was it that white? Just about. But it's a relationship. I'm fascinated by some who come and are so angry that if you're not careful, they'll bite your head off. But by the end of the year, it's amazing what God has done, just if we work at that relationship. So that's what God is after. So with all our heart. So this refers in the Old Testament to our intellect, to our will, to our affections, are all encompassed in this word heart. So with our whole heart, I'm going to go after this relationship with God. With all my soul, and it was interesting reading the psalm this morning, how often the psalmist referred to the soul. And the soul encompasses our whole being. It pulls it all together. That's what the soul does in as you think of it. So in the soul is also our dreams, what we dream of becoming. That's in there too. So that my soul is then coming after all, with all my soul, I'm going to come after God. So how is God going to even impact my dreams and my aspirations? Then the third word here, which is strength or might, which is interesting to me. You know, you start it with with heart, and then you go to soul, and then you jump to strength. But Moses is here talking about your energy. So with all my energy is going to go after God as well. So now when you think of these three, I think it's Luke that has four, so he's trying to explain a little bit more what strength means. But when you think of these three, it's not separate categories to the Hebrews. To the Hebrews, it was he's trying to explain the entire thing. So they're trying to figure out, how do I explain this in different ways? But they're talking about what our whole being is made of. And that's what he's trying to draw our attention to. So they're not separate categories. So we have a tendency of separating things in our life. You know, we compartmentalize. And Moses is saying, no, our whole being is in this spiritual thing. Everything we do, say, and breathe. You see, even our work is spiritual. Even if you're not like, yeah, it's Waldy, you talk about your work, that's spiritual work. No, everything we do, even when we were involved in other work, which was not church work, that's spiritual work. See, we compartmentalize and say, well, this is sacred and this is secular. And Moses is saying no. A young Japanese student was studying in the United States and was excited about going home with one of the people in her class for Christmas. So it was a Christian home, and she was looking forward to that opportunity to see what Christians were like. At the end, she told her host, "I enjoyed church, but did not find God in your home." And then she said something intriguing. "In our homes, we have a God shelf." Now, she didn't expect to see a literal God shelf in their home, but she was expecting to hear them talk about God in the home. So she enjoyed church, but didn't hear God at home. See, and that, I think, begins to give us some clues as to what we should expect in our homes. So what comes out then from us parents? So we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. What comes out then in conversation at home? See, what we love as ultimate will come out. It will. It will leak out at home. So what do you talk about at home? Does God come up? So love the Lord your God. Number 2, in 6:6, it reads, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." So take them to heart. Now, it's somewhat of a repetition of 5, but in 6, take them to heart. Have a moment where you find time with the Lord. See, would our children convict us of loving the Lord? Would they convict us of loving the Lord? Do we spend time with God during the day? See, it isn't as necessary to make sure you sit down with your kids every day, but do they find you sitting down every day? Now, some of you may do your devotions with the Lord early in the morning, and you may think, well, my kids will never see me. No, because Sharon and I used to do ours really early in the morning, and kids get up at the oddest hours, and they come stumbling into the room. What do they find, or into your... And God didn't mind in the study, and no, at the table, we didn't have a study at one point. So at the table, and you did yours in the living room, right? So, you know, what do they find you doing? See, it isn't that you sit them down every day and say, well, this is what I'm doing. They actually find you doing things. See, what do they find you doing? So you want to take them to heart. You want to set a pattern in your life. And, you know, we have lots of technology today. It isn't hard to take advantage of some of that. You know, even as we drive, right, there is, you can get the Bible on, you know, iPods and all sorts of stuff you can get on there. Dad, what are you listening to? Well, I'm listening to God's Word. See, can you put some of this into your everyday life so your children know what you're doing? So I just want to encourage you, take them to heart, find a place where you are actually setting time aside to read God's Word. And I know it even with our grandkids. So we have 13 of them. What do they know about Grandma and Grandpa? So how do they look at us? How can we help our children in that sequence? Number 3, in verse 7, it says, "And you shall teach them diligently to your sons or to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So any which way that we go about life every day is supposed to encourage us to talk to our kids about our faith. So when you sit down, share your faith with your kids. I think the challenge is being pertinent or having something relevant to share. See, when do they find you praying? See, is it only for meals? See, they will ignore that. Do they find us praying throughout the day? Do we stop with our children and say, you know, we need to pray, and pray at that moment in time? So when we walk by the way, so as we are doing our daily activities, do we take a moment and stop and talk to them about our faith journey? When you get up, do you read something in the morning to them? It doesn't have to be long. And when you lie down, do you read some bedtime stories? You know, what do you do with your children? Do you give them opportunities? And just, you know, when we moved up here, then of course our kids got into the school systems here, and I never found the school systems that over-challenging that a few dinnertime supper discussions wouldn't solve. See, we just have to be involved with our children to talk about them, to talk with them about what God is doing, how God would handle some of the things they had in school. So I just want to encourage us to keep engaging with our children. And fourthly, it says in verse 8, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it, to me, it's just signs that indicate everything in this home points towards God. That the children know where it's going, that people know when they step into your house what direction you are going. Now, the Jews actually took this very literally. I'm not sure it's exactly what Moses meant, but they would tie little boxes, they're called phylacteries, onto their foreheads or onto their arms. And I think you've all seen movies with the Jews where they have boxes on the side of their gate, gateposts as you go in, and they would always touch them. So they'll rub these boxes and then say a blessing. So they would actually were very literal about this, but somehow lost over time that it was also supposed to impact our hearts. So I just want to encourage you that, yes, putting things up is important, but that we put it into our hearts is most important. You know, what I hear here then is the hiss of the snake. Oh, don't get carried away. But I would encourage us to get carried away. You know, the lives of our children are at stake. See, are we concerned about our children? Are we concerned about the children that go to church here? See, I don't have to have children to be concerned about them that go to church here. Just look at the little ones that were up front here. How fun that is. See, you know, are we concerned about these? Where are they headed? So you may not have grandchildren or children here, but can we be concerned about where these little ones are going? Remember Jesus said that if we're not concerned about them, if we cause them to stumble, it would be better for us what? Have a millstone attached and thrown into the deepest sea. So we need to be concerned about the children of this church. See, it won't be money or a career that sustains them through life. And I'm really getting concerned about how our evangelical church is more concerned about giving them a job than teaching them how to live life. It won't be money that sustains them through the storms of life. And just knowing how many of our alumni face divorce, face death, young, calamity, jobs, losing jobs, there are lots of calamities. So how do we prepare them for that? So we need to move beyond simply knowledge, and we need to teach them how to live life in relationship with God Himself. So we, though, have to lead the way. So basically, we have to learn how to love the Lord our God. See, does my heart beat for everything Jesus? Does it turn to Jesus and only Him? See, our young people will pick that up. Not sure of how many of you have heard of James Penner. He's actually originally from DeBolt, but he's a sociologist out of Lethbridge. He has worked with Reg Bibby quite a bit, but he talks about some things that they've found in working with young people that are crucial in giving them a full opportunity to stay in church. So there's six things that need to be done as parents. pray, read your Bibles, and go to church. Pray, read your Bibles, and go to church. So, Tassie, how does that add up to six? Times it by two, because there is two parents. So, if both parents do those three things, they found out that 80% of those kids go to end up in church. Now, if one parent does not do one of those things, do you want to know how badly it drops? So one parent does not do one. So they're missing, you've only got five. It drops into the 20% range. Okay, so it reinforces that we all have to be involved. Like the father and the mother both have to be fully involved, fully engaged. So they've also proved in that study that parents still are number one in influence with children. Parents are still number one in influence as with their children. So who's number two? Grandparents. Okay? So contra the culture, parents and grandparents still are number one and two. Now, fathers still have the major influence in the home. So do you begin to see what happens when a father is not fully involved with the spirituality of the home? See, no wonder we lose out, because most often it's going to be the father who's not walking down that path. Women always have a greater sensitivity and heart for the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we as men also need to step into this. What are we doing in our homes? Because if it's going to be the one missing, it's usually going to be the father. So we need to all be involved in raising our kids. So let's remember that in this mix, both of us need to be involved, father and mother. And in this mix, we need our church. And in this mix, we also need our Bible camps. And in this mix, we also need our Bible schools. So we all need to be working together to accomplish this task as we move forward. Our children are at stake here in regards to what we do. So I want to encourage you, it's very possible to accomplish this. That's the irony of this. It's very possible to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And of course, Jesus adds, and our neighbor as ourself in the New Testament. So it's possible. And then to walk in prayer, reading, and church. It's possible. I can do that. So I've given this message a few times, and one of the things that usually comes to me is a young man saying to me, you know, I can do that. Yes, we can. It is not that complicated. So may you be blessed, especially as you head into the Christmas season here. The kids are going to just be a wow with agog with this Christmas season. But we bless them then with the fact that this is about Jesus. This Christmas season is about Jesus and Him alone. And let's turn their hearts to Him in that way. So blessings on you as a congregation as you reach out into your community here and in the surrounding areas and work with your pastor. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this Claremont Church, how they walk with us and how they are a light to their community here into Claremont, which so needed a light not that long ago, but needed a light into this community. And so I thank you for their spot here. And I pray that they might be bright for you in Jesus' name. Amen.